Broadcasting live from the Gwinnett Studio of Business Radio X, located inside Office Suites Plus at Satellite Place in Duluth, it's time for Gwinnett Business Radio. Gwinnett Business Radio spotlights and highlights companies that do business in Gwinnett County and the people who lead them.
And hello again, everybody, and welcome to Gwinnett Business Radio. My name is Mike Salmon, along with my co-host, Stephen Julian. Stephen, seems like it's been a while since we've done this.
It's been a few days. Good to see you, Mike. I missed you.
You're so sweet.
I'm going to start crying like Tony Gonzalez.
Yes. By the way, I see you're getting a little high-tech on me down there.
I am.
You just have a couple of business cards, some notes in front of you.
That's right.
And now you got the old, the iPad out or something?
Thank you for the bonus. No, it's a little cheap Android thing, but thank you for the bonus. I went and bought myself.
So we're paying you way too much money to be co-hosting the show. We have three guests with us this morning on Gwinnett Business Radio. Joining us today is John Ernst with Ernst & Partners. Mark Traeger with Cornerstone Media Group, and Dave Lazotte with the Gwinnett Braves, our favorite baseball team here in Gwinnett County. We're going to start with John, though. John, welcome to the program.
Top of the day to you.
Very good. Are you Irish?
No, I just threw that out there for whatever reason.
And we're off to a flying start this morning.
Well, I'm part Irish.
Okay.
So it's okay. Are we all here in the U.S.?
It's okay for you to do that, then. Yeah. John Ernst, Ernst & Partners, an attorney firm, a law firm. Talk about what you do and what you specialize in, how long you've been in business.
Well, I'm an attorney, which most people kind of out there think they know what they're doing. I do five different areas of law. I do personal injury, real estate closings, and bankruptcy. I have an associate that does criminal and divorce. So not a one-stop shop, but I do a good wide range of areas of practice, and I've been doing it. I'm going on my 10th year here in November. I'll be 10 years a member of the bar.
Talk about how you got started and getting into your own practice. Did you first initially work for another firm before beginning your own?
No, I was kind of a lone wolf from almost the very beginning. I worked in government, as I say, and actually worked for a former governor, and so I was in law school thinking I was going to go out into either New Hampshire or Iowa, and then he runs for re-election while I'm, of course, in law school, so I had nothing to do with it, and he ends up losing, and I go from having my world set on a platter to having to be on my own, and everyone's, we'll get you a job, but of course, they are looking for themselves, so I started doing that, and so I had to very quickly, within a year, to start really doing it on my own.
Is that normal? It was funny when you said you didn't go through the big firm. What's the percentage of lawyers? Not that you know, 80% of statistics are made up, but
correct.
Yeah,
but I'll make 100% of mine.
Awesome. And we have to prove it in a court of law.
Exactly.
To prove you wrong.
Correct. No, actually, the big firms. I guess when I was there, they were hiring maybe 30% of our class. I went to UGA Law there in Athens. So maybe it was about 30% of our class, might be probably a little bit less. That's gone down and down as each year since I've left. The practice of law, the market for it is dried up, especially for big firms. It's almost a dying breed. But you always hear about the big firms. They have the PR, they have the cachet, they have the donations that they throw out there. So you always hear about the big firms, but majority of attorneys are small and on their own.
That's got to be a challenge, John, because not only do you have to be a good attorney, but when you start your own business, you have to be a good business person as well. There's a lot of great doctors and great dentists out there that have no idea how to run a business.
And that is the biggest problem with attorneys. I mean, we are not trained at all to be business. We have no MBA. We have no marketing. We were brought up at my time was kind of that big firm mentality. Everyone just kind of cycled to the big firm. Everyone says, "Oh, this is how you do it." The old ways of doing it. It used to be you'd get out of law school in the 50s or 60s or 70s, and everyone says, "Run for state legislature," because it's basically free press as you're running and everyone thinks you're someone smart because hell, you ran for in legislature. We all know how that is. But yeah, it is a different world, and it is very different. And a lot of attorneys, I was the first one in my class, and everyone comes to me afterwards and says, "Hey, how do you do it? And they just, a lot of them just don't understand the behind-the-scenes stuff of marketing and of payroll, and it's just those small things that us mainly attorneys are never taught about.
How do you so if you are a smaller kind of higher service model of an attorney and located here in Gwinnett County, how do you set yourself apart? What are some of the things you look to do to make you, you know, again, to set yourself apart from your competition?
Well, I did start on my own. I did have a partner for a little bit of time. She was Korean. I marketed heavily to the Korean community. I was, when we started together, there was 16 Korean attorneys in the whole state of Georgia. And like two of them were dead. So it was like actually 14.
So that'd be 14.
It'd be 14. Okay. But the state bar always lists all the attorneys.
Probably legally there was 16.
Well, actually, that's attorney talk. Exactly. So. It is a little attorney talk. But anyway, so for a population at that time, they thought it was like 150,000, 200,000 people. So whereas the rest of the state of Georgia, we're talking about one attorney for every 200 people. So I got into the Korean market, and I still, our partnership split up. I still did that. I do other things. One of my big marketing ploys, and it actually helps out a lot of people, is that I give 10% of my fee to the charity of the client's choice. So, for my personal injury business and my real estate closings, that helps drive some of my business. I market it heavily at certain points and let it drop and go back and forth. But it does work out really well when I have a big case, and we, present a check to, I've presented $4,000 or $5,000 checks to churches multiple times.
Wow, that's very unique. Obviously, there's a lot of advantages to being belonging to a large law firm, and that you have a lot of shared resources. But what are some of the advantages or disadvantages of having your own firm?
Well, having my own firm and being small. A big law firm is so tied into the rainmaking of a top person that cycles the stuff down. Because there's so many resources, it is a very expensive model. You have, a whole bunch of assistants. You have a whole bunch of staff, office space. You have to have top-notch office space. You have to have wood paneling. You have to have the best, Aramark chairs for everyone who's sitting down, and you have to have the best top line leather couches. I mean, go into the big law firm. If you haven't been in it, it's like, it really is. Everything is top notch, and it has to be because they're charging huge amount of money. So being smaller, obviously I don't have that. I rent a couple office spaces, and I don't, the overhead, I just don't have. And that allows me, while to be a little bit on the less money-wise, allows me to, if I see an opportunity, I can go get it. And if it fails, so be it. I'm not, I don't have, 15, 20 people relying on me at that point. So I've done things where I've tried and I've failed, and I've tried things that have been successful. Marketing, different areas of practice, different relationships. So it allows me to be a lot more nimbler.
When we talk to different business owners, sometimes things are going on out in the culture that kind of drive clients to them. Hey, I need to get my roof replaced, or insert industry here. When it comes to legal, mm-hmm. There's not a lot of TV shows that are like, hey, this is why you need to be talking to a lawyer. So let me ask you the question: what are some things going on that potential clients need to know about and potentially need to be calling you, especially about the five areas of law you
well,
cover?
I guess the main markets out there that are really big is with the real estate would be short sales. You still have a very down market, especially here in Gwinnett in the outer counties. There's a lot of people underwater, and it's now people who are, at first it was people who just couldn't afford it. Now we have people that are coming to me that are moving, been relocated, all that kind of different stuff that need to do a short sale. And so it's kind of a different model. That also kind of plays in with the bankruptcy. Obviously, sometimes people can't afford it. There's a short sale, then there's a bankruptcy. The fact that I do both is hugely advantage for my clients. Because those people can be it's basically a one-stop shop. You know, we can say, hey, this is where your scenario is. You're not being able to make it. Let's try to do the short sale first. If that doesn't work, we file bankruptcy. Or we do file bankruptcy first and do short sale. Or, heck, you don't need to do either one of these. And I can advise them their best path. Whereas a real estate closing attorney is just going to be, let me get the short sale done. Or a bankruptcy attorney is going to say, let's just file bankruptcy. The fact that I do both, my client is better served, I believe.
We're talking with John Ernst with Ernst & Partners, an attorney. John, of the five areas that you specialize in, personal injury, real estate closings, bankruptcy, criminal and divorce, is there one area that you enjoy more than some of the others?
Well, enjoy like everyone else, I enjoy the big payday. And so personal injury, obviously, there's nothing like personal injury. So I enjoy that, but also the work involved with personal injury is just, it's litigation. So there's some little coming back and forth with adjusters and other attorneys. So it's kind of the more traditional practice law. Bankruptcy, the fact that I can, really, I do feel that I'm helping people. Like, I'm getting the weight of debt that people are coming off of really helps. I feel like that natural high of, like, feel like I'm really helping people out. And then closings, the fact that, it's usually a very happy time. People buying a house, people selling a house, people refinancing, getting a better deal. So it's kind of a good, feel-good type thing, too.
John, we've had other attorneys on the show as well, and some have never seen the inside of a courtroom because that's not the kind of law they practice. As a criminal attorney, and for some of the other stuff, of course, you actually do go in the courtroom. But as far as the criminal side, I always love great stories. Is there, maybe not a high-profile case that you had? But
I haven't had any high-profile, and this was early on.
I'm thinking Tom Cruise and, Matlock moment over here.
Unfortunately, it's not necessarily the I guess 3 months into my practice of law, I was appointed by a judge who lived in my neighborhood who knew me, appointed me to a child molestation case where I was defending a child, you guys accusing him of being a child molester. In fact, he was on videotape doing the deed. But in fact, he was a one step away from being he was mentally challenged, very mentally challenged. He was basically one step away from not being able to be prosecuted. And I actually watched the tape and turned the volume all the way up. And he was in a house with a whole bunch of drug dealers. The girl was a runaway, but who was, underage, but was not really scared or it wasn't anything like that. But she wanted someone to mess around with her, and the drug dealers told this guy who was getting mentally challenged, if you don't mess around with her, we're gonna beat you up. And so I got a case in which I had no chance of winning. I actually did the research. I looked at it. I went to the prosecutor. I said, you don't have a case here. And he argued with me a little bit. I said, he was forced. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Now, we can deal with some of this. He had some other random charges. We can deal with these other random charges. You get something. You don't get to say, prosecutor, hey, I got nothing on this child molestation case. So I get the guy off. But I called his mother, and he was living with his mother, and very manly challenged. And she started bawling, crying when I told him he wasn't going to have to file as a child. He was not going to get convicted of child molestation. He was never going to have to file as a sex offender or any of that kind of stuff. And that was one of the most powerful, times of my life. I mean, I literally affected this guy in his mother's life for the rest. I mean, if that hadn't happened, he would have gone to jail. Who knows what he would have done. And again, so I tell that story and everyone goes, oh, child molester, how can you find? But in fact, sometimes, everyone deserves representation. You have to have someone to represent everyone. And you have to defend them to the best of your ability, and sometimes they really don't do it.
Where do you see yourself, John, 5 years from now as far as your practice?
I see myself probably personal injury. It's probably a little known, not has been talked about. You'll hear about it shortly. When we get when we get cars that start driving themselves, which is coming down the pipe. Google has it. Audit Audi has it. And that's going to be 5, 10, 15 years. You know what's going to end? What practices and laws are going to end? It's going to be auto accidents. Adjusters, insurance people are all going to go away. It's a whole huge segment of the population that's all about to go away. So I don't think I'm going to be doing personal injury work here in the next 10 to 15 years. I know that's coming. I like it. It's great. It's great money. I love the interaction, all that stuff. But that area of law is going away. And no one's really talking about it yet, but I mean, thank God I'm an attorney. I can go do something else. If I was an insurance adjuster now, I would be, you know, say, when's my retirement? Can I get it done? I think closings, I'd be doing closings and bankruptcies, kind of how I see the future. Like I said, I have an associate that does the criminal and divorce. Again, there's always someone going to be arrested. There's always people going to be breaking up. And there's people going to be buying houses, and there's going to be people who just fell in hard times and need to file bankruptcy.
John, again, you're with John. It's Ernst & Partners, and you specialize in personal injury, real estate closings, bankruptcy, criminal, and divorce. For the folks that want to find out more about your firm or contact you about your services, what's the best way to reach out to you?
Well, of course, the old phone, 770-291-2009, or you can email me, John, spelled J-O-H-N, at ErnstPartners.com. That's E-R-N-S-T, Partners, P-A-R-T-N-E-R-S.com. And it's Ernst with one vowel. It's the very beginning of the name. Confuses people. Not Ernest. So it's Ernst. So.
All right. John, thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thank you.
All right. And now joining us here on Gwinnett Business Radio is Mark Traeger with Cornerstone Media Group. And John talked a little bit about marketing, but obviously, Mark, you know all about marketing. Tell us about your company and what you do.
First off, I don't know everything. Okay, but... Cornerstone Media Group has been around for a little over 20 years. We started really as an offshoot. I've been in sales and marketing for the last 35 years. But about 22 years ago, I saw the internet for the first time on an unrelated project down at Cape Canaveral and realized if it ever moved viral like it was on its way to doing, it would change marketing and really for generations to come. And sure enough, as of today, it's not slowing down. If nothing else, it's getting faster and faster. From that, what really got it started was, and when I used to take clients out, I would never take them golfing. I'm a big outdoorsman. I would take them hunting and fishing. And I used to guide on the Chattahoochee River as a professional fly fisherman. And I started getting more and more people asking me about this thing called the internet, most of them outdoor companies. And so back in 93, I built my first website, and they paid me an ungodly amount of money. I thought, my gosh, this has got to be illegal. And
we're finding a theme here, Stephen, between the money, between the personal injury and the
and websites. He just said illegal, so I know, yeah. The one vowel lawyer over here just got a little excited. So
yeah, I did.
Statute of limitation.
But since then, we've been very fortunate. We've done everything from simple websites to building internet television networks. We even do classified work for the U.S. Army. We teach them how to fight bad guys on the internet. So we've seen a lot of stuff over the last 20 years, and it isn't slowing down. But we over the years, we've evolved. We do a lot of online and offline marketing for clients, telling the story about what the business is and who it is and what it can accomplish for a client or for a customer is really what we specialize in.
You mentioned that you've always have to transform over the years because times are changing, and especially since you've been in it for 20 years now. These days, you know, the iPhones and the mobile apps and so forth, you have to be on top of that. It seems like, is that the direction we're going, that these companies that are used to the yellow page ads, they need to get back with the modern times?
Well, I always like the phone call I get every year from the yellow pages that want me to advertise in the book. And I said, well, okay, if the yellow pages are that good, why is there a website called yellowpages.com? Okay. And you've seen the yellow page book actually shrink in size, but there's a generation now that's growing up that don't even look at or know where to find a yellow page book. They go to Google to find it. And literally the smartphone that has become so popular this year will outflank your desktop computer for getting information about your concerts, products that you're interested in, businesses that you want to frequent, even making reservations at your favorite restaurant will all be done on a smart device. And if you don't think it's happening, if you own a smart device, how far away does that device ever get away from you? Probably no less than 4 feet. And believe it or not, even at night, you'll hear shadow rings and also, too, shadow text messages that you think you're getting, but you're really not. So is this device affecting your life? Absolutely.
It's not affecting our life. It's taking our life over.
Truly, it is. Yeah.
So Mark, one of the things, let's put ourselves at the behind the desk of a small business owner. I'm a small business owner. Okay. Pick the industry, doesn't matter. I think one of the things that small business owners would say a lot is there are so many different choices when it comes to how to use the internet, how to use it to market and find clients. And it sounds like one of the things about Cornerstone is you guys have been a leader. You've been in it for a while. You've seen everything come and go. So you're not just the latest fad. You're not just, oh, you got to do this, and then 2 years later it's going to change. So apart from being a leader, what else would set you apart, and what specifically should business owners be looking at to take advantage of what's out there online to build their business?
Well, I think probably the most critical aspect of a business is having a very well-done website. I mean, you can look like a multi-million dollar company if you'll invest a few extra dollars to get a good quality web presence. Most people don't realize that as soon as your website comes live, you're accessible to nearly 6 billion people can find you instantaneously by simply just knowing your URL or doing some things. So really, your internet presence is really the foundation for that. And most people think, well, gosh, I can get a great website done for $500. You can get a website done for $500, but will it project the right image of your business, your passion, and so forth? Chances are it might not. But what we tell clients that if you're really, whether you use this or not, you really need to look at investing $3,000 to $5,000 on a good quality website. And that includes, you know, building a good logo and some branding as well. So from that standpoint, that's the thing that we're trying to do at Cornerstone with our speaking engagements and seminars that we run, is just to educate people and inform them about all the options that are available to them really for free, giving them the resources that, you know, we always tell people that you can go out and build your own website. And what I always do is I tell them and I give them a little magical silver bullet when they leave and say, look, after about 150 hours of you trying to figure out, just lock and load and point it to your head, you might want to give us a call before you pull the trigger, you know. So those are the kinds of things that I think small businesses need to focus in on, is really getting a good web and internet presence.
You mentioned a branding and a logo, and maybe a small business owner is not familiar with what's the difference between a brand and a logo.
Great question. A logo is a design, a graphic. A branding is telling a story. It's telling it from how you look, how you act, how you communicate, and really the message that you send out to the world. You know, crafting a 30-second elevator speech. You know, it used to be, if you asked me 10 years ago what Cornerstone did, it would take me 2 hours to tell you. Now, Cornerstone, we're a marketing, media, and web development firm that basically is committed to disrupting our clients' marketplace in order to make sure that their brand is in demand. And what I mean by disruption, you know, you've got one of those little things right there, an iPad or a tablet. When Steve Jobs invented it, you know, a few years ago, and in the first 80 days, he did $1.5 billion of introducing a product that he didn't think, the world didn't think they needed. First off, it wasn't fair that he made that much money in 80 days. But look at the impact that it has. It's changed a whole culture. That's disruption at its highest level. You know, every company that we work with, I'm a firm believer that if you investigate their products or whatever, there's a golden nugget that if it was brought to the light of day would make their competition nervous and get potential clients excited about that product. So our job is to elevate that product or service up to the light so people can see it.
Going to put you on the spot a little bit right now. You're sitting next to Dave Lizotte with the Gwinnett Braves. So the Gwinnett Braves, I guess the logo is what we see on the cap, on the shirt, yep. Everything they merchandise. The brand would be family, atmosphere, coming sports entertainment, things like that.
It's sports entertainment and what they do with that brand as well. They have an integral part in the community. I mean, the Braves are part of Atlanta. You can't think of Atlanta without the Braves. And they spend a lot of time, effort, and money to be a part of that community. And they're doing a lot of great things. So when you think of the Braves, you just don't think of them as a baseball team. You think of them as a community leader. They're involved in helping other organizations and so forth. And that's part of their story or their brand.
Because they have to. Because if you're not a baseball fan, there'd be no other reason to go see them play. So
right.
You give them other reasons that they're part of the community.
Right.
What is one of the biggest challenges that companies face as they make their marketing plans for 2013?
Well, I think most people are faced with this dilemma. You know, the old style marketing, and now we're in this digital world. How can I make my company competitive or at least be seen? Probably the biggest thing right now is to make your website mobile friendly. And what I mean by that is that if you take your website, put it on your smartphone, and if you just see itty-bitty teeny tiny print, you've got a problem. Because I'm not going to sit here and try to adjust the size to make sure I can see it. I'm going to go on to your competitor site that have done that. So what we're doing right now is doing a lot of mobile conversions, or what we call responsive sites, that can be viewed on any tablet, screen, device, or whatever. Because you want to be able to literally be a true thumb click away from your customers.
What about the Facebook phenomenon and social media? You know, I've done my website, and I had to do mobile, I had to do all this different stuff, and then Facebook came on, and then Twitter came on, and then and all these different things, and you know, who knows what if Facebook's going to fall flat on its face and something else going to pop up.
Right.
How are you doing? How's your company handling that different social media, which is kind of almost a different? It's not just web; it's like web plus two or point two. So it's a different area.
Well, and that's a great question, especially for business to business type companies. What we are telling our clients to do is, from Facebook to LinkedIn to blogging and so forth like that, use it as an educational tool. Keep them informed about trends that you're seeing, information that they need to make decisions. Don't make it as a sales and marketing tool. Make it as an information tool. You know, the statistic is that about 12% of the people will blatantly take your information, run, and never look back. But we're starting to find that people just want to be informed. If I can go, whether it's with us or any other web development firm or marketing firm, and at least understand some of the jargon and the information, I can know if I'm getting a good value. And, you know, but the social media side of it is a tricky avenue. Mm-hmm. The problem is, it takes time and time.
Yeah.
And a resource, whether it be you, which I'm sure you bill out at, you know, more than probably $12 an hour. But I'm just saying, you know, having a resource to do it and a commitment to it is the key.
I think also when somebody thinks about marketing, you could, if you'll allow me to kind of lump things into just two camps, mm-hmm. there's particular projects or products that people are looking to buy to increase their marketing. And then I think what you're saying is you're looking to build relationships with people. You're looking to say, where are you at? Where do you want to go? And here's what you're going to need to do to get there. They may only take the first few steps. They may take every single step and see it come to fruition. But it sounds like you're trying to build long-term relationships with people.
Well, what we're trying to do too, is, and that's a good point, we're trying to promote inbound marketing versus outbound marketing. Outbound marketing is, you watch TV, and they throw commercials in there. You didn't ask for them. Thank God for TiVo. I can, you know, zip through the commercials, okay? Whereas if I get somebody to respond to an email that I've sent, sign up to ask for information, or like me on Facebook, I want to be a part of your brand. So that's the goal. You know, the Braves do a great job of getting likes. You know, I'm a liked fan on their Facebook page, okay? Because I want to know what's going on, all right? So I've made an inbound decision to be part of that brand. So that's the goal for most companies, is how to create an inbound marketing strategy instead of worrying about, you know, can I afford to be on radio? I mean, granted, radio and TV is still important, but using it effectively, where if you're going to do a promotion on radio like today, make sure you have a landing page that you send them to a specific promotion so you can track it, understand if it's working or not, and adjust to it. So does that answer your question?
No, very much so.
Sure. We're talking with Mark Traeger with Cornerstone Media Group. I asked John earlier about maybe a story. I always look like success stories. Can you point us towards maybe a company that you might have worked with that was looking for some leadership and did not have a brand or a marketing plan, and you kind of helped them grow?
Yeah, it's kind of funny. Probably our largest client, the U.S. Army, came to us.
I've heard of them.
By the way, since you said classified, I've been dying to ask the whole interview. Well, tell us more about the work you do with the Army, but it's classified.
I can't tell
you. You'd have to kill me.
But the point is that it's an interesting story. From our search engine optimization of our site, I get a call on a Friday afternoon from this charming lady saying, I'm with the U.S. Army. We've got a project. Would you be interested in helping us out? I'm going, yeah, sure. So make a long story short.
Who is this, really?
So we meet with, you know, people with green uniforms on and you know, badges and all this stuff. And I go, okay, this could be serious. And, excuse me, come to find out, we were one of six firms that were interviewed. We were the smallest. And the reason why they picked us to do the projects with them was that we told them how they could do it themselves. We didn't force any technology on them. And we gave them ideas and suggestions, so they really didn't even really need us, because it wasn't that complicated at first. And they said, we've never had anybody do that. And then one of them said two firms sent their creative people in with spiked hair and you know, pierced ears. And they said, well, I can't put this in front of the commander. He'd draw a sidearm and think these were wild animals, you know. So. But the U.S. Army has been a great client. All I can say is thank God they're on our side.
Real quick, are they hiding aliens out west? Is that true?
I will neither confirm nor deny that. Okay. So, it's been a great relationship with them.
I tried, Stephen. Okay.
Thank you, Mike. Good job.
Mark, tell us how folks can find out more about your company if they'd like to look into using your services.
Yeah. You can reach us on our website at www.csmediagroup.com, or you can call me, Mark Traeger, the chief evangelist for the company, at 770-359-0073, and that's my direct extension.
All right, Mark, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.
All right, and we've already spoken about the Gwinnett Braves, so we're out of time, Dave. Sorry, but nice to have
you. Well, we got to mention it next, so that's good.
Yeah, no. Dave Lazotte, he is the media relations manager with the Gwinnett Braves. Of course, they are the AAA baseball club of the big league Atlanta Braves, so you're only about 35 miles away from your big league club. Talk about this. Since we've kind of been talking about social media and so forth,
sure.
I know obviously since you do a lot of PR and the media relations, that's a big part of your job, is just keeping the team current on all the social media platforms.
Absolutely, and it's a battle. I mean, as soon as you get used to Facebook and Twitter, now we're hearing about Google Plus and trying to get that started up, and as soon as we get that rolling, I'm sure there'll be something else.
Don't forget Pinterest.
That's right. Yeah, that's also in there. So
and Business Radio X, so that's why he's here today.
Absolutely, but it's a constant... it's a job in and of itself to keep up to date on the new technologies out there, the new social media platforms, and then keeping content on there that people are going to want to read that directs them back to our website and to the things we have going on.
Wait a minute, Dave. The casual baseball fan is saying, wait a minute, it's not baseball season right now. Aren't you guys taking time off?
Oh, I hear that a lot.
But I obviously this is probably the busiest time of the year for you.
It's getting to be. It's kind of the launch of getting things ready to go for next season. A lot of folks out there, and this is something that always has kind of amazed me over the years, that I've run into folks that, you know, I meet them in September and they're like, okay, well, you must be off now until we'll see you in March when the season really starts getting near. Well, we have plenty of stuff to do in September and November and in December and October in there as well. Obviously, that is some downtime for us that we do finally get to take some time off. But at the same time, we're wrapping things up from the previous season. And then really, once we get back at the start of January is when we get rolling for next year. And so every week that passes, we're trying to cross some things off the list and getting ready for the next season.
Dave, I'm going to kind of throw you a nice little softball. Yes, pun intended there. So I talk to clients. I've taken some clients to games. I've gone to many games myself. What surprises me is how many people in Gwinnett County I have heard this statement from. Oh, yeah, the Gwinnett Braves. I need to go see a game. I've heard it's really, really cool.
Yeah.
So let me just give you 30 seconds or however long you want to take. Those who haven't gone, who have missed this gem that's sitting right in our county, tell them what they're missing. Tell them, you know, how great it is. Tell them everything you want to show.
Sure. That's a great softball for me right there.
You're welcome.
From really two sides of things. One, it's affordable family fun. I know that that's something that all minor league teams stress, but, you know, there's folks that flat out enjoy the minor league experience more than the major league experience, and it's for the family affordability. It's for some of the crazy stuff you see in between innings. It's tough to keep small children interested in a baseball game all the time. I think I was kind of a weird child in that sense that I would be focused on the game growing up. But, you know, there's a lot more to see and do at a minor league game than you're going to get at the major league counterpart. And that's what we try and promote from that side of things. Secondly, I think it's underestimated how much talent you're going to see come through our ball club. Just within the first 4 years that the team's been here, Freddie Freeman, Jason Hayward, Craig Kimbrell, all these guys come through Gwinnett on their way up to the major league club. So you never know who you're going to see. At the same time, you never know what major league guys you're going to see. We get rehab assignments quite a bit. We had several last year. We had Tim Hudson through a couple of starts for us. By the end of the season, we also had Tommy Hansen made a rehab start. Jair Jurgens came down. So you never know what major league guys are going to be down there and for how long they're going to be there as well. Chris Medlin, his whole journey to the great finish that he had of the regular season and the starting rotation and pitching in the playoffs and all of that started with a three-start stretch-out stint for us. So it's really a great place to see the future Atlanta Braves, a lot of the current guys that come down for any sort of reason that there is. And again, it's an affordable place to do so. And we also like the fact that we can stress the closeness to the players. You get a little bit better access to the players here, and we try and get them more involved than you might see elsewhere.
I've told friends that I've taken to the games as well that if you sit right behind home plate in those seats, you're actually closer to home plate than the pitcher's mound.
That's right.
The pitcher's rubber. So you're that close. And there's that accessibility to the players. I know Brian McCann has had rehab stints in Gwinnett as well. And you can actually get to talk to him, get an autograph, which is it's much more difficult at Turner Field. Dave, talk about your background in baseball.
Sure.
and what are your specific responsibilities with the Gwinnett Braves?
Well, let me start off with my responsibilities here, and then I'll tell you all the various things I've done leading up to this, because it's a wide range of things.
You got 15 seconds, go.
All right. As media relations manager, I am basically in charge of the information that comes out from our team, whether it's ticketing initiatives, advertising that we announce, if it's special events that are going on at the ballpark. Our community relations department does a monthly grant that we issue, and I send the information out on that. And then obviously the baseball information, making sure that those who are more intently focused on batting averages and RBI totals and all that get that information, making sure the broadcasters are informed, both radio and television, making sure the visiting teams that are coming in and that we're visiting have the same information to be able to use. I handle all of our website content, coming up with the content for that. Game day program, writing the stories and editing and all of those things. So
maybe it would have been easier to say, what don't you take care of?
Well,
in second base in a pinch, too, by the way.
Not very well.
Bathroom cleanup.
Well, that kind of leads into the background, because when you work in minor league baseball, especially in the place where I started out, you pretty much do have to do a little bit of everything. And I've been fortunate to get to the AAA level. This is my eighth season in minor league baseball coming up. So year seven was last year, and it was my first taste of the AAA level. Previous to that, I was in Class A ball in the middle of Iowa, Clinton, Iowa, the eastern side of the state, in the Midwest League.
It's beautiful this time of the year, I hear.
What is Clinton, Iowa famous for?
Well, a lot of things.
Bob's Burgers or
no,
something?
No, I would like to say Clinton Lumber Kings Baseball.
Nice.
I'd like to say that. They've been around
good
since
answer.
The 30s.
Yeah, very well done.
A little plug for them, I suppose. But
their website's one of the best websites in minor league baseball. Did you have anything to do?
Yeah, sorry, I did.
Another softball.
Thank you.
Good.
I lost my train of thought.
We're good at that here, Dave.
All right, where was I?
You're talking about your background in baseball.
That's right. In Clinton, there was we had a 5-person staff. So it's quite a bit different than here in Gwinnett, where we have about 20 people on full-time staff. And in about a week or so, we'll have our trainees on board, and we'll really have a full-fledged staff ready to go for next year. But in Clinton, you get a taste of really having to have a hand in everything. It starts to rain, you're out there putting the tarp on the field. I was a radio broadcaster.
Been there, done that.
He knows what it's like. But, I mean, you're literally, if you know, I'd get in at 9 in the morning and work on, you know, baseball information like I'm used to, like I do right now, game notes and all that stuff. But I'd have to break away to sell somebody tickets if they walked in, because I might have been the only person there at the time. If it's raining, we got to go out and put the tarp on the field. Maybe my pregame show, you know, on the radio side, lacks an interview because I had to go put the tarp on the field. And then I go up and do the game, you know, maybe in my sweaty tarp clothes, and then go down on the field, put the tarp back on after the postgame show. So you really get a sense of what it's like to have to do everything. And from that base, it's good then, when you, especially when you get to this level where it's much more specialized, that you know what everybody else has going on, that you've had a sample of what other people have to do. And in an emergency, if you need to jump around and wear different hats, you can still do that too.
I know you're in charge of media relations, and you have someone that's in charge of your ticketing, someone that's in charge of your corporate sponsorships. But speak to maybe any ticket specials you might want to promote right now, or
sure,
anything that has to do with the sponsorship side of the business.
Well, we just launched our 5th season anniversary celebration last week. It is, believe it or not, already the 5th season of Gwinnett Braves baseball here in Gwinnett County, so we're excited about that. We rolled out a new 5-packs ticket plan. It's 4 different packages, 5 tickets starting at $50. So, again, speaking to family affordability, that's, you know, where we want to make sure we're at. And it's 4 different predetermined packages based on some of our best nights of the year. Now I'm reading off the sheet here, but that's okay. We have a fireworks plan, which includes 5 fireworks nights, all 7:05 starts. The bobblehead plan, we're going to do 5 alumni bobbleheads this year. So we know fans love the bobbleheads, and they'll be able to collect a lot of the great alumni G Braves that have come through: Freddie Freeman, Jason Hayward, Chris Medlin, Craig Kimbrell, and Brandon Beachy as well. So we've got a package where you can secure tickets to all of those games. We've got what we call the Best 5 plan, which includes opening day and then July 4th. So you basically get the best games on our schedule. And then we have a Silver Slugger plan, which is all of our day games included in that 5-pack plan. So right now, that's what our sales goal is. It's the first chance that fans have to get individual tickets before they go on sale, which will be, I think, coming up in March. We haven't announced a date on when those are going to go on sale yet, but that's really folks' first chance to get the best games on the schedule.
One thing that's kind of unique, too, about what you do is you don't have control, per se, over what happens on the field. So you know, win or lose, you still have to offer a fun atmosphere for the folks that come to the game.
Exactly, and that can be tough, you know, especially at the AAA level, as I learned last year, where you have a very good club for a good stretch of the season, and injuries occur or moves are made, and all of a sudden some of the players you have, you don't have anymore, and you have to move on from that. So it's really hard to market on existing players, because you just never know where they're going to be, how long they're going to be there. So that's definitely why we promote the players from the past that have come through and made an impact, and it helps us connect to the identity of the Atlanta Braves. I mean, it's hard to ignore that connection. That's something that we want to portray just as much as the family entertainment is, you know, the strong connection with the Atlanta Braves. But yes, it's hard to market on wins and losses, because at the AAA level especially, you just don't know what kind of team you're going to have, if that hot streak's going to stay hot. And then, you know, in the case of last year, we had a rough season on the field. So kind of having to draw attention away from that at times and make sure people still leave the ballpark, whether you know, won 10 to nothing or lost 10 to nothing, still feeling like they had a positive experience.
And that's something
we have to do.
And I can tell you, Steve, you know, when I've brought the kids there, half the time they don't even know what the score of the game is. They're just having a good time.
Well, I think my kids are more like when Dave was growing up. My kids actually like to keep score and watch the game. So, but speak a little bit more on beyond the game. You kind of mentioned it before, but for those fans who don't know, what else is available at the ballpark? Because I think the G Braves do have a good experience that doesn't completely take away from the game, but there are some things for kids who don't want to sit there and keep score, but and even adults. So what else does the stadium offer during the game?
Well, we've got the gigantic video board in right center field that we try and keep folks entertained with that. The in-game promotions here, I'll have to give a shout-out to Maggie Neal, who runs our on-field promotions and marketing, are some of the most creative that I've seen. And I've been across minor league baseball. I've been to every Midwest League park and other parks and have seen a lot of different promotions. But the stuff that we've come up with, I think it's definitely geared towards kids. But I think it's designed not only to get the kids that are participating excited, but every kid in the ballpark seems to be glued to the promotion when it's going on. Our biggest outreach, especially to kids, would be our mascot Chopper. That's something that we have really built upon as time has gone along, but making sure that he's accessible in-game. He signs autographs up in our suite level for, well, some nights it's longer than others, but it's at least half an hour, 45 minutes some nights up there signing autographs, and he's got a definite presence around in the ballpark. And on that same note, trying to get, you know, community involvement, as we've already discussed here, having Chopper and having players and having representatives from our team out in the community for events that aren't Gwinnett Braves baseball, for a presence there and letting people know, you know, like we were talking about, the presence in the community for folks that maybe aren't big baseball fans, but that's how you get baseball fans. That's how you get people started.
Dave, I have one last question, and we're going to see how good of a media relations manager you are. I'm going to ask a question about the Atlanta Braves real quick.
Okay.
Feel free here in public to say, was that an infield fly rule eligible ball or not?
It's been much discussion about that. I was watching it on television. I was actually back in Wisconsin where I'm from. I had tickets for the next game afterwards if we had made it to the NLDS, so I was pretty upset about that. But without putting myself too much at risk, that's the first time I've seen an infield fly quite that far out.
As an attorney, I actually was, it dropped right in front of me. I was at the game. So you don't need to speak. I can speak for you. That was not an infield fly rule.
Dave is a very good media relations manager. That was well answered, sir.
Had a workaround
well
it, but still.
Well answered. Yeah. And I'm glad the attorney came to your rescue. Yeah.
John was ready to sue somebody after that.
I thought, if one person had jumped over that railing, that the rest of the stadium was going to jump over the railing. I mean, the anger in the stadium, it was so close to being, I was serious. I thought there was one guy who started going and he stopped. And if one person had gone, that entire side was going to go. And that ump was, it was in serious trouble.
Well, getting back to, this goes back to the question about my background. My first job in baseball was on the Milwaukee Brewers grounds crew. Back in 2000 at Old Milwaukee County Stadium. And one of the things as a 17-year-old kid that I was asked to do was field security. So at one point, I was one of those guys who had to sit there and watch for that guy that might run out there. And if so, then try and form tackle him and bring him down.
Did you ever have to tackle anybody?
I've been out on the field a couple of times. I ran a couple of guys into a waiting tackler, so to speak.
And as usual, I'll just say the Braves do it better than most people, if not everybody. The guys at the stadium, no offense to you, Dave, at 17 in Milwaukee, but I wouldn't want to get taken down some of those Atlanta cops. They're pretty good.
They're pretty intense. Big folks, yeah. But yeah, that was a crazy night.
Real quick, Dave, you've got a new manager. Talk about that. And you've got opening day coming up, so talk about that.
Sure. Randy Reddy, just the second manager that this club has seen, replacing Dave Brundage, who is now managing AAA Lehigh Valley in the International League. So we'll see Brundy back. It'll be a fun battle with him. But Randy Reddy now joining the club, officially announced back on November 12th. A lot of folks probably recognize the name. He was a major league infielder for parts of 13 seasons. Major league hitting coach with the San Diego Padres for parts of 3 seasons. Last year was the minor league hitting coordinator for the Texas Rangers, so he's got a lot of experience. He's managed at the AAA level before. He's won a title before in the Texas League in AA San Antonio a few years back. So we're excited to have him. I've only so far had some telephone conversations with him. We actually crossed paths way back in the day in the Midwest League when he was with Fort Wayne, so we have some some background together, but he seems like a pretty animated guy. I think he'll be a good leader for this club, and he'll be ready to hit the field here not too long from now. As you mentioned, opening day is it's coming up. It's coming up fast, so we've got a lot of preparation still to do before then, but it's Thursday, April 4th, 7:05 p.m. We're at home at Coolray Field taking on the Charlotte Knights, and we will have, again, individual tickets will go on sale coming up likely in March. But if you want to find out about the season ticket plans and the five packs and all of that, it's all at GwinnettBraves.com.
All right, and let's go ahead and give all that contact information for folks that want to look into tickets.
Sure.
Businesses that might be listening that want to check into sponsorships, so where should they go?
I would direct them straight away to our website, GwinnettBraves.com. If you want to get the social media updates from us, the Twitter is at GwinnettBraves. Facebook is GwinnettBraves1. Tack the 1 on there, make sure that's in there. And our phone number is 678-277-0300.
All right, Dave, thanks so much for your time
today.
Thank
you. Appreciate it.
Once again, a thank you to all our guests, Dave Lazat with the Gwinnett Braves, Mark Traeger with Cornerstone Media Group, and John Ernst with Ernst & Partners. Remember that Gwinnett Business Radio airs brand new live shows every Tuesday and Thursday at 10 o'clock, and that our program can be heard throughout the day on the Gwinnett Business Radio X station. Of course, you can listen to any of our programs anytime 24/7 by logging on to businessradiox.com. For Steve and Julian, I'm Mike Salmond, and we'll see you next time right here on Gwinnett Business Radio.